is the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
And here is episode number 186 of the Rob Carson Show podcast. For those of you downloading it on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Plus, Google Play, YouTube, Audio Boom, and your flashlight. I think also we come in on your flashlight. Hello and welcome. Glad to have you as a part of this one. Also say hi to our podcast radio network listeners. You can hear the show every day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Central Standard Time, podcastradionetwork.com. And then, of course, we are on Liberty One TV. Liberty One TV. Hey, everybody. How you doing? Show's becoming very popular. I think last Friday, I had about 20,000 people watching. Oh, here's what you need to do. You need to become a subscriber, if you wouldn't mind. That's going to pay the bills. That is going to pay the bills. Now, you can do it in a couple different ways. You can do it for just $10 a year, and you're going to get a whole bunch of great video podcasts and commentaries and all that stuff from some very cool people, including me. $10 a month. Annual subscription is $99. Listen, you're cutting the cable. You're cutting the cable. This is another way to cut the cable. Producers Club, $1,000 a year, worth every penny of it, LibertyOneTV.com. Okay. A lot of things to get to today. I've got several different piles of stuff. I'm going to start with Harvey Weinstein. And I just think the enormous hypocrisy of Hollywood and the Democrat Party is so in bed with Hollywood. And the more we find out about Harvey Weinstein, the more we knew that everybody knew about it. Everybody knew about it, guys. Everybody knew about it. We've heard from dozens of people, to 30 people have come up so far and accused him of sexual harassment, even rape, around the world. Here is, like San Francisco, here's Gwyneth Paltrow in 1998 with David Letterman.
Are you here of your own free will? Has someone coerced you into being here?
Do you count Harvey Weinstein as a coercer?
Now, Harvey.
There you go. Okay, so there's a joke. That's 1998. That's 17 years ago. This is a scene from 30 Rock, where the character Jenna says she turned down Harvey Weinstein three times out of five.
Sid, how long will it take to get a cease and desist order against Weird Al Yankovic? Oh, that's too bad. Did they also take away your handgun license?
Don't do it, J-Mo. You don't want to mess with Weird Al.
Oh, please. I'm not afraid of anyone in show business. I turned down intercourse with Harvey Weinstein on no less than three occasions.
Everybody knew about it. Everybody knew about it, and certainly Democrats knew about it, and certainly Hillary Clinton knew about it. Her husband is Harvey Weinstein, just a political version of it, exercising power over women, power and position, to get a little. What about Donald Trump? Well, Harvey Weinstein and Bill Clinton both had to pay off women, had to settle with them out of court to keep them quiet. Apparently, he came coming out of his daughter's house yesterday. Tried to wave down a car, didn't know who they were, just to get a ride. His daughter, Lily, called the police. This is yesterday morning at 10:30, which was Wednesday. She thought he was going to kill himself. When the officers got there, she changed her mind. He was talking about going to Europe for rehab, which would have set him up as another Roman Polanski. FBI put the kibosh on that in a hurry. His wife, Georgina Chapman, was leaving him. He decided to comment to Page Six, New York Post, Gotham's paper. Says, I know she has to do what's best for the children or for the business. She employs 130 people. I don't want her or my children to be hurt by any more than they already have been. I truly love Georgina, and I hope one day we can reconcile. Yeah, dude, not going to happen, because you're going to be in jail. Although right now, I don't know if that's possible. My board is thinking of firing me. All I'm asking is, let me have a leave of absence and get into heavy therapy and counseling, because that'll make up for it. It'd be like, you know, I have murdered those people, but I'm getting counseling now, so I won't kill again. Whether it is be in a facility or somewhere else, allow me to resurrect myself. Give me a second chance. No, man. No. No, sir. Hillary Clinton finally came out and basically... This is 5 days after the allegations came out in the New York, was it the Post anyway? No, it wasn't the Post. It was the Times. And she finally said something about it, you know, abhorrent behavior and blah, blah, blah. And it was funny because I saw the headline, Hillary Clinton and the Obamas condemn our Harvey Weinstein. Well, where's Bill Clinton? Where's Bill Clinton? Yeah, that was all a right-wing conspiracy, right? He never molested women. And he would never do that. It was a right-wing conspiracy. Well, it's amazing. Silence speaks volumes, doesn't it? You've never heard Bill Clinton say anything about this. Any one of these scandals that comes up, he never says anything. He's silent on it because he and Hollywood are thick as thieves. Thick as thieves. And remember this, Bill Clinton, he hung out with Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, Jeffrey Epstein, Epstein. He was a sex offender, spent time in jail, spent 13 months in prison and home detention for solicitation and procurement of minors for prostitution. He allegedly had a team of traffickers who procured girls as young as 12 to service his friends on Orgy Island, an estate on Epstein's 72-acre island called St. James in the Virgin Islands. Virgin Islands. Everybody knew that Bill Clinton associated with him, knew he was a pedophile. Conchita Sarnoff, Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit alliance to rescue victims of trafficking and book author of the book called Traffic King. Why would a former president associate with a man like that? Well, why would he take 26 trips aboard the, quote, Lolita Express, even ditching Secret Service for at least five of the flights? Why would you do that in a plane that's outfitted with a bed where passengers had group sex with young girls? Why would you do that? Clinton's presence aboard Jeffrey Epstein's Boeing 727 on 11 occasions has been reported, but flight logs show the number is more than double that. Extended junkets around the world. Oh, they partied their asses off. Hong Kong, Japan, Singapore, China, Brunei, London, New York, the Azores. I bet they've got some Azores on them. Belgium, Norway, Russia, and Africa. Thick as thieves. They knew exactly what was going on. The DOJ decided he wasn't going to Europe for sex rehab. So he had a change of mind. He's going to Arizona for it, I guess. The FBI is expected to examine an allegation that he forced Lucia Evans, a student who wanted to be an actress, to perform oral sex on him. He liked to take showers in front of women and masturbate. So he could end up going to jail. I hope he does. A police official in New York said he's a superior predator. His conduct shows he's been at it a long time and he's professional at it. Donald Trump says, I've known him for a long time. I'm not surprised. Weinstein was a huge donor to Hillary Clinton, had a $30,000 plate dinner at his home in New York as a fundraiser. Rose McGowan has been suspended from her Twitter account commenting about Harvey Weinstein because she reached a $100,000 settlement with him after an encounter in a hotel room at the Sundance Film Festival in 1997. Ronan Farrow was on MSNBC. I guess this is Tuesday night, I think. He had approached NBC about the Weinstein story a long time ago and was turned down because they questioned his sources. Okay. Here he is talking about that.
Look, you would have to ask NBC and NBC executives about the details of that story. I'm not going to comment on any news organization's story that they, did or didn't run. I will say that over many years.
He's on with Rachel Maddow. I never play stuff from her show, but this is okay.
Many news organizations have circled this story and faced a great deal of pressure in doing so. Mm. And there are now reports emerging publicly about the kinds of pressure that news organizations face in this. Mm-hmm. And that is real. In the course of this reporting, I was threatened with a lawsuit personally by Mr. Weinstein. And, we've already seen that the Times has been publicly threatened with a suit. I don't want to describe any suits leveled at other organizations that I work with, but certainly this is a considerable amount of pressure that outlets get as well.
So he had very powerful attorneys, lots of money. He had power over people's careers, whether you are cast or not cast. he had very powerful connections in Washington, D.C. And we all know that nobody goes to jail in Washington, D.C., no matter what. And you can have an illegal email server and have classified emails on it and all sorts of things, and you're never gonna be in trouble for it. Oh, this is just rich. Hillary Clinton was at a book signing, and she was asked about, you know, sexual harassment, misconduct, and all that stuff. This is from the 11th of October, which was yesterday. Here she is answering it without saying Weinstein's name. And then Aaron Burnett of CNN had a comment right after it.
You know, don't let it be something that people sigh over or get upset about and then forget. This is endemic to our political system.
Okay, you know what she just said there? This is endemic to our political situation. She just said what her husband did. He's a part of it. Don't you see? I know it's obvious to you and me, but for her to even say that, listen to that again. This is endemic of the political system.
People sigh over or get upset about and then forget. This is endemic to our political system, to business, to the media, to every part of society.
Wow, 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 wow.
So don't be afraid to talk about it and take it on. Misogyny is deeper. It's a form of hatred of women.
Yeah.
It's an attitude of just such negative, almost...
This is just rich.
...virulent dislike of women. It's rooted in power and the power relationship. And there's a pattern to it.
All of which, of course, was evident with Harvey Weinstein. It's good Clinton broke her silence. Of course, it is too bad she was one of the last to do so. After all, she wrote this in her book about her loss to Donald Trump, quote, "That doesn't mean I'll ever run for office again. It does mean I will speak out on the causes I care about." One of her biggest, of course, is women's issues.
Yeah. As long as, you know, women aren't being molested by her husband. It's breathtaking. It really is just breathtaking. And CNN, like so many, like The View, they can pivot to Harvey Weinstein. They can pivot to Donald Trump, but they never pivot to Bill Clinton. They never pivot to Bill Clinton. They never do. As an example of somebody who did the same thing that Harvey Weinstein did, they never pivot to Bill Clinton. It's always Donald Trump, or it's always somebody else. Remarkable. Remarkable. Yeah, I haven't played my Harvey Weinstein song today. I need to play that. We have a little comic relief here for my friend, Jim Gossett. Harvey Weinstein song. We're going to talk about other stuff. Enjoy.
The days of Weinstein's over.
Going to jail.
Harvey got a pass for playing grab ass. 'Cause the media protects this filthy rat. 'Cause he's a Democrat.
Majorly.
He's one of their fat cats. The late night guys avoid it.
You're finally talking about it.
Harvey, they won't touch. They love him so much. Jimmy Kimmel's sad. He don't know what to do. 'Cause the days of Harvey Weinstein are through.
You done, buddy.
Okay, guys. Big finish now. Let's give it to old Harvey one last time. The late night. Those creeps avoid it. Donald Trump they'll bash. But Harvey gives them cash.
Big time.
Colbert showed up on his colonoscopy.
His head did anyway.
Weinstein are history.
Goodbye, you wretched bastard. Friend of mine, Jim Gossett, he did that, and he's brilliant. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. Jimmy Kimmel has become the moral conscience of America. He's decided to not tell jokes anymore, and so he bloviates about gun control and sexual harassment, even though on The Man Show, he did bits like this where he asked women to feel in his pants and tell him what they thought was in his pants.
I've stuffed something in my pants, and you're allowed to feel around on the outside of the pants. You have 10 seconds to then guess what is in my pants. You should use two hands. Two hands. Before, haven't you? Maybe it would be easier if you put your mouth on it. How old are you?
18.
Okay, good. You sure of that? Because Uncle Jimmy doesn't need to do time. You're gonna make a fine wife. I think I wore the rubber underpants. And your guess is?
Vibrator?
A vibrator? No, it is actually a zucchini with a rubber band on it. But you can use it as a vibrator if you want. Look, this is a good game. This is a good game.
Okay. Ben Affleck decided to play a little grab ass with a Canadian reporter in 2004. And her name was Anne-Marie Lausique. He insisted that she do the interview on his lap.
They would like it better if you did the show topless at the station, wouldn't they? You usually show a lot more cleavage than this. What's the story? Why are you covering it up today?
Well, it's Sunday morning.
It's Sunday morning? That never stopped me before from getting the out. What are you trying to fool?
These breasts are very firm.
Suspiciously firm. What is... I mean, they are like two giant stone. What just happened? How are you get like...
No, because it's a sport bra.
Oh, sport bra? That's
why? Yeah, that's why.
Do you have a boyfriend in back in Montreal? Yeah, I have many boyfriends. Don't worry about me. I have seven lovers.
Wow. And to know that he's being filmed is really funny. I think the funniest soundbite of the day is Ed Asner on MSNBC. I want you to listen to this. This is absolutely hilarious. So he's an old guy, old school. He, of course, was the boss on Mary Tyler Moore, which was a very liberating show of women in the workplace. Okay, fine. And she had this, Chris Jansing had him on about Harvey Weinstein and sexism in Hollywood. Ed Asner decided at the onset of the interview to ask her for a kiss.
Ed Asner, who helped demonstrate the changing culture of independent women in the workplace
yes.
for millions of Americans each week. Ed Asner, wow, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you. And not even a kiss.
Not even a kiss?
No, nothing, right?
Oh, my God. Well, I think the offenders have to be punished. And I'm sure I've been guilty at times of... using my overpowering masculinity.
He's essentially admitting that he did that kind of thing.
To beg for a kiss as I did when I opened this conversation with you. But I know better than to push it.
And then he goes ahead and pushes it.
Longtime fan, thank you so much for coming on the program. Good luck with the book.
You still owe me a kiss.
Okay, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And with good reason, Mr.
No, Asner. No. I'm not a job procurer.
Mm. Thank you. It is good to see you.
Wow. That was just... that was priceless. Oh, that is funny. Okay, creepy grandpa. Well, you're going to move on. Thanks. Been a real pleasure having you on. You are a creep, though. All right. Let's pivot real quick to Vegas. Some of the victims' families, they're starting the lawsuit process. And they are going to, at least Paige Gasper, Sonoma State University student, is suing Mandalay Bay and MGM Resorts, the estate of the shooter. Liability claims also against Slide Fire, the manufacturer of the bump stock device. And then the music festival organizers for not keeping people safe. Well, nobody could have ever imagined somebody would break out the windows of a hotel and fire down onto an open crowd. So I hope that doesn't go anywhere. And the bump stock is completely legal. The bump stock is as illegal as legal as a car. If you kill somebody with your car, you can't sue Ford Motor Company. Or somebody kills you with a car, you can't sue the Ford Motor Company. But they're casting a wide net. They want to make as much money as possible. And I think it's the families. It's the trial lawyers. It's the trial lawyers. A couple of names you need to remember. Stephen Shook and Jesus Campos. These two guys were on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort before the shooter started shooting. There's been a shift in the timeline, and I want to go through this because I was just on KXNT in Vegas this morning doing a show. These two guys, Stephen is a maintenance worker. Jose is a security officer. Jose was shot in the leg, and then 200 rounds came through the door of the shooter's hotel suite. Even though he was shot, Jose Campos grabbed Shook, pushed him down, and saved his life because the bullets came whizzing over his head and he survived, uninjured. Here's the change in the timeline this morning, and this is where it's going to get dicey with, with Mandalay Bay. This is according to ABC News on World News Tonight. Hotel staffers at the resort did not call Las Vegas police until after Stephen Paddock, I said his name, damn it, started his mass shooting spree. So what happened was Jose Campos, Stephen Shook, on the floor. Jose gets shot. The 200 bullets fly through. 6 minutes later is when he started shooting out the window, the shooter. That's finally when Mandalay Bay called the police because Jose Campos had gotten a hold by walkie-talkie. So had Stephen Shook. They called downstairs. They said, hey, we've got an active shooter situation here. I've got some audio. Let me see if I can find it here. Here is the audio of Stephen Shook.
Call the police. Someone's firing a gun up here. Someone's firing a rifle on the 32nd floor down the hallway.
Copy. Hey, it's on 32.
32-106 Stevens. Security wants to know if you know a room.
It's at the end of the hallway. I can't tell you what room. He looked like he fired down the hallway when I got close to the door.
So it's down to 100
in
the hallway, correct?
Security's up here.
The guy's been, just amazingly calm and cool about it. But the fact of the matter is, he called down, and now phone records show that Mandalay Bay didn't take it seriously until the bullets started flying out the window. The windows. So that's going to present some problems for Mandalay Bay. Should be fairly easy to prove because the police keep copious phone records and recordings. So that's the latest. It's what they're saying. 6 minutes between when Campos was shot and when Paddock first opened fire on the concert. So that's going to be problematic for them. But remember those two names, Stephen Shook and Jose Campos, because they were the reason why the shooter only shot for 10 minutes. I believe that. He knew that the gig was up. He knew that, and people are saying that he had expected to escape, but they were on him before he started. So he ended it quickly, thank God. The police didn't get there until 17 after. So the police were called at the top of the hour, 10 o'clock. They arrived at 10:17, which I think is remarkably fast, considering they had to be notified, then they came, and then they had to formulate a plan. Ron Hosko, former FBI assistant director, has worked with SWAT teams. He says, rather than rush in without a game plan, police would have been formulating the best response to the barricaded gunman. Undersheriff Kevin Mayhill says, I can tell you I'm confident that he was not able to fully execute his heinous plan, and it certainly had everything to do with being disrupted. He says, I don't think the hotel dropped the ball. I don't know. A lot of questions to be answered. There are a lot of moving targets. Pardon the expression. And there are a lot of different perspectives. There are a lot of witnesses have different descriptions of things. People could say this. Two people could see the same event and see completely different things. So we'll see. One way Mandalay Bay could have unwittingly assisted this guy is by letting him use a freight elevator. One of the perks, I guess, for using being a high roller is you get to use the freight elevator. It's more private, right? Well, a Las Vegas bellhop may have helped Stephen Paddock accidentally carry his arsenal of weapons and ammunition up a freight elevator. The shooter had accessed through a hotel perk and into the out-of-view 32nd floor suite paddock used to rain down his mayhem. Unidentified hotel worker at least twice helped Paddock with his belongings. Authorities have yet to identify any abnormalities in the gunman's behavior. Access to the resort's massive service elevator is an advantage the shooter took advantage of. Deborah DeShong of MGM says this remains an ongoing investigation with a lot of moving parts. As evidenced by law enforcement briefings over the past week, many facts are still unverified and continue to change as events are underway, under review. There's no surveillance cameras in the floor's hallway, only on the elevator banks. And the timestamps on the hotel's communication system in some cases may have been off. So there's going to be some discrepancies in the timeline, is what they're saying. I don't know. The one thing I do know is those two guys, the maintenance worker and the security guard, I think they really stopped what could have been a lot worse, because he had another thousand rounds of ammo. He had another thousand rounds to go. Donald Trump says $1 million will be sent to Vegas for law enforcement overtime. That's good. Guy staying on the floor, Sonny Morgan, a Georgia resident, flew up to Vegas for a conference, said, "I was watching the rest of a Sunday night football game. Went to sleep. Right around 10 o'clock, I woke up to the sounds of gunshots. Initially, I had thought it might have been some fireworks, and then it just kept going and going. After calling the downstairs to the desk, Morgan said hotel staff instructed him to barricade himself inside his room, explaining they were made aware of the situation. He reportedly listened to the orders, built a pillow fort to protect himself as SWAT teams moved in to take out the shooter. Said, I could hear the SWAT teams making their way up the hallway, basically breaking down doors, opening the doors aggressively. Six or seven SWAT guys came in and made sure that I wasn't a bad person. They ushered us out and told us to run as far and fast as we could to get away. Do not disturb signs getting a second look. When a new not disturb sign hangs outside a hotel room for a while, staff will usually call or knock at some point to make sure everything is okay. Usually, they wait about 12 hours. Casino owner Steve Wynn said, a room goes on, do not disturb for more than 12 hours, we investigate. Guy was in the room for 5 days. Steve Wynn said it would have triggered a bunch of alarms here. Really? I don't know. You knock on the door and say, are you okay? He says, fine. A holdup guest might be ill, he added. Steve Wynn. Staff would check to see if they're safe. So there's a limit. There's a limit to privacy in a hotel room that probably is going to have to be looked at. Illegal activity can happen in any hotel room, but it's far more common to worry about a guest's health than to worry about stockpiling weapons. When is the last time you heard 23 assault rifles in a hotel room? This according to Steve Carville, a finance professor at Cornell University School of Hotel Administration. Nobody expected this. Evil finds a way to kill, and it's very innovative. Right now, in cities around the world, it's running over people with cars, and they're going to put up barricades in Paris, and they're going to put up barricades in wherever, and then evil will find another way. Evil found a way during the Boston Marathon a few years ago with pressure cooker bombs. Evil found a way by bringing box cutters onto four airplanes and killing thousands of people. Evil finds a way. Then it became underwear bombs. Then it became shoe bombs. And thank God they didn't work out. But evil finds a way. It's constantly evolving. It's constantly thinking. And it's because we don't think like them. Because if we did, I mean, that would be... Sure, some in law enforcement have to think that way. But I don't know. Just remember the two heroes. Remember the two heroes. As far as the NFL, protests are concerned, Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive lineman Gerald McCoy predicted Wednesday that there would be an uproar if the NFL requires players to stand for the national anthem. So Says, I don't think guys are going to like it. I think it's going to be an uproar. It has to, if that is to happen, because you're basically taking away a constitutional right of freedom of speech. No, you're not. If guys want to have a, I guess you would call it a peaceful protest, I don't think that it's right to take that away from guys. No, it is, because it's not. Well, I'll say it again. Players don't have First Amendment rights when they're on the field, when they're playing or off the field. When they're in the arena, they are subject to the whims of the NFL. There are a million ways that the NFL restricts their speech, including excessive celebration in the end zone. It's hurting the NFL, and the NFL is going to have to explain and come to some sort of an accord, some sort of agreement, and players are going to have to realize this is going to hurt them contract time. Something's going to have to be done. But what happens if they say you got to stand and 100 players don't stand? Do you fire them all? Do you bench them all? Do you, you have them remain in the tunnel during the anthem, then come out? There's a guy, free agent Antonio Cromartie. Yeah, I'm not a sports guy. Said he thought players would continue to sit or take a knee in what he described as a statement against police brutality and social injustice. There's no finish line. There's no happy, you know, there's no time that this protest, A, is built on a lie that the police are wholesale slaughtering black men. It's not true. It's meant to distract from the real issues in the African-American community in the inner cities. It also is meant to create a crisis for a generation that has never had to struggle like those before. The civil rights movement was in the 60s. People who had dogs unleashed on them were hit with water cannons, were banned from entering schools, were subject to Jim Crow laws. We've got a generation that needs victimhood. Says, I think that as players, we have the First Amendment right to protest peacefully. No, you don't. I'll just say it again. No, you don't. He said he didn't think fans would abandon the NFL over take-a-knee protests. People are going to watch football. People love football. Well, sir, some will. Your audience is going to be a lot lower. Your endorsements are going to go. NAACP is going after Jerry Jones, saying that they have to stand, saying that it's violating NFL's free speech, NFL players' free speech rights to bench players who continue to kneel. No, it's not. From the NAACP, Jerry Jones comments are more than tone deaf, more than misinformed and misguided. They are a public commitment by the NFL owner to violate his players' constitutional rights to free speech. Again, jeez, what the hell? This is just a big damn mess, isn't it? 100 of the union labor unions filed a complaint against Jones, alleging that he violated National Labor Relations Act by threatening to bench players who protest. Go to the Ford Motor Company and don't wear your uniform. The filing of the to the National Board Labor Relations Board said the employer, evidenced by his repeated public statements, is attempting to threaten, coerce, and intimidate Dallas Cowboys players on the roster in order to prevent them from exercising concerted activity protected under the act, by saying that he will fire any players involved in such concerted activity. Okay, whatever. He has every right to say that. He owns the team. Sorry. Football player Division III Albright College in Reading, Pennsylvania. Jyrie Durant decided to take a knee during the national anthem, and he was excused. He's not playing anymore. In a statement, the school says he was dismissed for his decision to not support team unity. It's school policy. You do it. Cheerleaders at Kennesaw State University, where five of their cheerleaders took a knee during the national anthem at their game against North Greenville University on September the 30th. They decided to take a knee for oppression and social injustice, and their cheerleaders. Older brother, one of the cheerleaders, calls what they did courageous. Yeah, real courageous. Her and another group of girls really felt moved to join the movement of talking about racial inequality and criminal justice reform, and decided they wanted to take a knee. I guess they're going to be told they can be inside of the school or tunnel or whatever from now on if they don't want to be a part of that. Let's talk about Al Green. No, not the Reverend. Al Green, the liberal Democrat, House member. A couple weeks ago, before Vegas, he was all ready to impeach Donald Trump. I guess he feels like the nation has had enough time to mourn, so he's ready to resume his idiotic tirade against Donald Trump. And for this, I'm going to require a little Al Green music. Yeah, a little music there. Yeah, play that in the background. I better play it off this computer, actually. Let me find it over here. Hold on. Al Green. Gotta find it. Al Green. Hold on. I've got it. Yeah, again, I guess he felt that we had time to mourn. That time is over. And he would just resume, even though the president, I think, has done a hell of a job. Here's the Al Green. Right over here. There we are. Al Green. But we've had enough. He got back on the floor like he did a couple weeks ago and had the following things to say about resuming impeachment against Donald Trump.
The form of the resolution
what?
Is as follows.
Yes.
Articles of impeachment against Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America.
Yes, sir.
In the Congress of the United States of America. Resolution.
Yes.
Resolved that Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America.
Yeah, you said that.
Has undermined the integrity of his office.
Yep.
With impunity.
Okay.
And has brought disrepute on the presidency with immunity.
Okay. That didn't make a whole lot of sense. Here's a little bit more from Al Green on the floor.
Has betrayed his trust as president to the manifest injury of the American people.
Has it hurt me?
And is unfit to be president.
Yeah.
And is impeached pursuant to Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution of the United States of America.
Ha.
And that the following articles of impeachment.
Yes.
Be exhibited to the United States Senate. Articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives of the United States of America in the name of itself and of all of the people of the United States of America.
Yeah, except for the Trump supporters, actually. I think you're kind of throwing us in there because I don't support your idiocy.
Against Donald John Trump, President of the United States of America.
Thanks for sharing that again,
In maintenance and support of its impeachment against him for high crimes and misdemeanors.
What?
Of a nature which may, with peculiar propriety, be denominated as political, not requiring the commission of a crime.
Okay, no crime necessary.
Exclusively.
Yes.
The jurisdiction of the United States House of Representatives
of America
for impeachment purposes.
Okay. Four articles. One, accuse the president of inciting white supremacy, sexism, bigotry, hatred, xenophobia, race baiting, and racism by demeaning, defaming, disrespecting, and disparaging women and certain minorities. Okay. He did none of that during the presidency. He talked about grabbing the P word during the campaign, or now 10 years ago. Another article says he brought shame and dishonored the office of the presidency by associating the majesty and dignity of the presidency with causes rooted in white supremacy, bigotry, racism, anti-Semitism, white nationalism, and neo-Nazism. This is gobbledygook. Another article condemned Trump for saying 3 to 5 million people voted illegal in the 2016 presidential election. And the fourth accused the president of encouraging law enforcement officials to violate the constitutional rights of the suspects in their case. That was the drug dealers, the drug bust. He made a comment. It wouldn't be bad if he bumped your head, putting you in the back of the car, even though you caught him red-handed. Sarah Sanders calls his effort pathetic. I concur. I think we're done with our Al Green music. Although I thought that was very pleasant. Didn't you find that pleasant? A couple of lighter things to wrap up the show today. shopping for Halloween costumes could give you lice. A lot of kids try on costumes when you go into wherever. Masks and wigs could have lice. Once you buy the costume, you should leave it in a plastic bag for 48 hours. The lice will die in a day or two. Take a shower cap or swim cap to the store with you and make sure your kids wear it when they put on stuff. That's a little embarrassing. Throw your costume in the dryer on high heat for 45 minutes before you wear it. That's what they say you should do. 72% of parents will dip into their kids' candy stash. Well, duh, you got to pay the tax, man. And here's the thing. I think we should have three levels of candy earnings, maybe with a fourth additional level of candy earnings for the really high candy earners, the people who, you know, come with a giant bag. So if you got like one of those little pumpkins, that you take 12% of it. And then it's a bigger container, mid-sized container, you take 25% of it. Then a bigger container, 36%. 36% of the kids' candy. If they get a pillowcase, so if they're like these one percenters, then you take a little bit more. See how your kids react to that. See how your kids like that. Oh, and then take state and local candy tax out of that, and property candy tax out of that. Teach your kids a lesson this year. Teach your kids a lesson this year. I just am not a big candy guy. I like the sour stuff. I like sour gummy bears. Don't really do candy bars. Do adults. They always, all the candy bar commercials have adults in them. Isn't that funny? Candy bar commercials always feature adults. It's going to be Snickers. It could be whatever. It's always adults. I kind of stopped eating candy. Occasionally a little piece of chocolate every once in a while. Finally, 64% of American households now own at least one Apple product, according to a new survey. Average household has 2.6 of them. 64% of households in America now own at least one Apple product, including iPhones, iPads, MacBooks, Apple Watches, even still clinging to an old iPod. I am. I've got every generation iPod, including the first. It still works. I had the third generation iPod, and it died on me. But what would I rather do? Take something that's the size of a stick of gum with 45 songs on it, or strap this to my arm, the iPhone? Doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, thank you for joining me today, guys. I really, really appreciate it. Make sure to, if you can, sign up for LibertyOneTV.com, LibertyOneTV.com, $10 a month, $99 a year, worth every penny of it. My video podcast as well as others, and they're terrific. We would greatly appreciate your support. And you can see my show every weekday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, obviously. And then my show on the Podcast Radio Network, podcastradionetwork.com. That's at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time. 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You get what I'm saying, all right? You can download my podcast if you want to keep it for posterity, or you want to listen to it on your iPad or iPod. Just go to iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Plus, Google Play, YouTube, all of it's there, and it's all free, all right? In the meantime, have a glorious rest of your day. God bless, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.